those songs tonight remind us of how grateful we ought to be and how thankful we ought to be. And I certainly hope that all of you are grateful, you're thankful tonight for many great and wonderful blessings. And we mentioned that this morning. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 97, David said in verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment are the habitations of his throne. For thou, O Lord, art high above the earth, thou art exalted above the gods, and light is sown for righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, Jesus Christ must have taken everything that David said to heart. Because when you look at Christ, he lived a life of gratitude. We always talk about the fact that Jesus lived a life of sacrifice, and that he did. But I think probably one of the exemplary things in the life of Jesus is that he was always grateful and thankful. It is one of the early lessons that we teach our children. I can assure you that by and large, some of the first words that are taught your children by you in the past, perhaps by you even now, those of you that have young children, are these words. Now, say thank you. We always want our children to be appreciative, and Jesus was. Everywhere that Christ went, he exhibited such an attitude of gratitude. For in the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter, before he fed the 5,000, the Bible says that he gave thanks. Also recorded in the book of John, chapter 6. He prayed before he fed the 4,000. We read in Matthew, chapter 15. And as he sat with the disciples celebrating the Passover, the Bible tells us that he would give thanks even unto them, Matthew 26. He would give thanks unto God for all the wonderful things that even his heavenly Father had given unto him. But you know, we live in a world today that's not very grateful. We live in a world where people complain by and large, which is the opposite of gratitude. A customer one time was bothering the waiter in a particular restaurant. And first he asked that the air conditioner be turned up because he was too hot. Rarely does that happen at this building. Generally, it is turn that air conditioner down. We're about to freeze. But anyway, this customer was bothering the waiter at that restaurant. And he asked him that the air conditioner be turned up because he was too hot. And then he asked it to be turned down because he was too cold. And so that went on for about a half an hour, back and forth, back and forth. Surprisingly, the waiter was very pleasant. He walked back and forth. Never once did he get angry. So finally, a second customer asked him why he didn't throw that pest out. And here was his response. He said, "Oh, I don't really care or mind," he says. "We don't even have an air conditioner." Well, you know, sometimes in life, people are prone, however, to complain and gripe. We forget how blessed we are. There was a man one time who said to his wife, he said, "Honey, I have some bad news and some good news." She said, "Well, what's the bad news?" He said, "The bad news is that we owe $100,000, $100,000 in college tuition loans for our children, a month's salary in back taxes, and we also owe our retirement fund is tanking, it's just going down all the time." And the wife said, "Well, what's the good news?" And the husband said, "Our identity has just been stolen." Well, now you may feel that way at times. I don't know. I know one thing, that we ought to be a people that are grateful. And I want to talk to you tonight about thankful and ungrateful. We spoke about it a little bit this morning, but I won't even go further than that. You know, I'm convinced tonight that there are so many reasons why we ought to be grateful. And I want to tell you again why. I would tell you, first of all, that thankful people are happier than unhappy people. They are. I observe people all the time. I'm around people all the time. I enjoy being around people all the time. And I have noticed, and it is true, I can assure you that it's true, that people that are grateful are people that are happy. Did you know you cannot be unhappy if you are grateful? It's just not going to happen. But I've been around people that are always complaining, like the guy in the restaurant. I've been around people that are always murmuring and grumbling and griping about something that is going on in life, either with someone else or with them. And they're not happy people. They destroy the happiness of other people. And I'm telling you, it is because they are ungrateful and unthankful. I can tell you with great assurance tonight that people that are, listen, happy people are people that are grateful and thankful. The Bible again says that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Everything that we have, we ought to be grateful for it. We ought to be like the Macedonians of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And the Bible says that they didn't focus on their struggles and their limitations, but they focused upon God. And the Bible says that they first gave themselves. I have come to believe that people who really give themselves unto God are people that are happy. Sacrificial people are happy people as well. They are. Do you know the Bible says that even Christ, when he went to the cross, went joyfully. He didn't go remorsefully. Even though he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane unto the Father, "Father, please take away this cup of death, if it be your will, but not my will, your will be done in all things." But the Bible says that he set his face toward that cross for the joy that was set before him. We ought to be a sacrificial people. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But sometimes people just complain and gripe about everything. You know what I'm talking about? They're unhappy people, I'm telling you. And when you gripe and when you complain, it just sets a mentality in your mind for you to frown. Now it does. You know, I'm so thankful that here in this country, that as I mentioned this morning, we don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to starve to death. We're going to live. We're going to make it. We are. And I thank God for the charitable people in this world. How many of you had it tough when you were growing up? Anybody in here not have it tough when you were growing up? One man said one time, he said, "You know, the most remarkable thing about my mother is that for 30 years she served the family on nothing but leftovers." Think about it. He said, "The original meal has never been found." You just got it. No. Well, that may be true. You know, we talk about eating. We all, and I've already heard people say that. And I'm going to tell you something. We had a wonderful luncheon out there today. I'm not a widower. Sometimes Audrey probably feels like she's a widow. But anyway, it was a great luncheon, and we appreciate Blake and Brandy. They did a tremendous job. And the young people, it was just a wonderful, wonderful. We had about 40 people out there, and it was great. And the food was great. I didn't know what a great cook Brandy Baker was. Did you know that, Henry? I'm telling you, boy, she and Blake put on a feast. It was wonderful. But you know, isn't it amazing sometimes? We talk about the fact that, you know, we have all this wonderful food and yet people want to go on a diet. Irma Bombeck said, "I've been on a constant diet for the past 2 decades. I've lost a total of 789 pounds. By all accounts, I should be hanging from a charm bracelet." Well, but you know what? God supplies that food for us every day. I mean, everything that we have. And you know what? I want to stay happy. And I know that the key to staying happy is being grateful and being thankful. And I hope that you will too. The Bible in the book of Psalms 38 and verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord that loadeth us with benefits." You ever thought about the benefits of God? A lot of times when people go to work, they want to know what the benefits are. Let me tell you what the benefits of being a Christian is. The benefits of being a Christian are these: forgiveness of sin, the hope of heaven, the wonderful fellowship that we have as God's church, the wonderful blessings of knowing that God is watching over us and that he is supplying every need that we have. That's better than Social Security, folks. It is. We ought to be grateful every day. You really want to be a happy person? Transform your ungrateful heart into one that is grateful. Now, let me tell you another thing. Why should I be thankful? I have learned also that thankful and grateful people have more friends. They do. I've been around folks, and I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. If you act like an ingrate, and there are some people that do, there are some people that just do. They never, ever get the message. Sometimes they don't get the message because they're not listening in church when I'm up here preaching. Now, I'm serious in saying that. I heard about a deacon one time who seemed to always fall asleep, you know, when the not any of our deacons, obviously, but who always used to fall asleep during the sermon on Sunday morning. Well, his wife grew tired and weary of his behavior that just continued all the time. And so she decided to deal with this embarrassing situation. You can imagine sitting next to your mate and they fall asleep and they start snoring and all that. Well, anyway, the next Sunday when her husband fell asleep, she quietly removed some Limburger cheese from her purse and carefully passed it beneath his nose. Whereupon the deacon was heard to murmur, "No, Helen, no, don't kiss me now." Well, there are ways to awaken people to the message. Grateful people have more friends. They do. You know, the Bible says if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And we must. We must be a people that are grateful every day. And when we're grateful, you know what? People just want to gravitate to you. But when you act snobbish and ungrateful, people don't want to be around you. I hear people talk, and I hear them say sometimes, "Can you believe that ingrate? Can you believe what they did?" You know, that happened to Jesus one time. Remember the story recorded in the book of Luke about the 10 lepers? And how they cried out to Jesus. They had heard of Jesus somewhere along the way, and so they were outcast in society. One of the biggest problems of being a leper was that they were social outcast. Pain didn't, I think now they call it in America, and I may be wrong about this, Brandy, but I think they call it Hansen's disease. But anyway, what happens is the fact that your fingers just fall off. You know, everything becomes a nub on your body. It does. Your arms, your legs. And so during the days of Jesus, and generally if you ever got leprosy, you live for about 9 years after you got leprosy. And it was a violation of civil law in the Old Testament for a leper to come within 50 feet of an individual who was well and of good health. And on a windy day, they couldn't get within 200 feet. Because everyone was so afraid of leprosy. It was a contagious disease. You couldn't even, you know, it would be worthy of death for a leper to even stick his head inside the door of another man's house. And they even had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," which lepers did. But on one day, and Jesus was walking by, he heard these lepers, and they were crying, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus turned to them. He didn't shove them away, even though they were outcast in society. He didn't shove them away, but he drew near to where they were. And he said unto them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And that was for the purpose of him declaring them clean. Now they moved and they acted, even though maybe in their heart they didn't understand what Christ was saying. You know, that's a great lesson for us, to be thankful unto God for what he asks us to do, even though we don't understand it at the moment. We know that it is for our good and for our best. And so these lepers turned and they started heading toward the temple where they could go before the priest and him declare them clean. And they were so excited and so overwhelmed by what Christ is saying unto them that they all leave for the first time. It's the first time they've ever been out of isolation, and now they're on their way to the priest. and one and only one turns around to give God the praise. 90% were so ungrateful. You think that probably represents our society today at large? Maybe so, I don't know. But only one. Jesus noticed it. And he turned and he said to the leper, "But where are the nine? Where are the nine?" You know, when I look at our country today and I look into our world, I'm prone to ask that same question. When I see church houses like our own that are not filled, I ask the question, where are the nine? Where are they that did not return to give God the praise? Thankful people are people who have more friends. I believe it. I'm convinced of it. And I know that if we exhibited such an attitude in our heart, I know that God would bring about the happiness that we so often desire and search for in different places. There's another thing, however, number three, and that is that grateful people are more spirit-filled. Now, let me explain that to you before you think I'm off on some kind of tangent here. Do you know in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." But very quick to read that, but sometimes we don't read the rest of the verse. And the rest of that verse says, but be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes people have just enough of the Spirit to make them miserable. Because they're trying to live two lifestyles. They're trying to live a lifestyle over here that has part of the Spirit. And they're trying to live a part of the lifestyle over here that wants to be back out in the world. And people are unhappy. You cannot be happy leading a double life, folks. You can't be. Guilt will take care of you on one side when you try to rejoice over here. Not going to happen. You want to be miserable, try to live a double life. The Bible says in the book of James that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's true. I hope that God would help each and every one of us to be a people that are grateful. I want to close tonight with a story that I read some time ago, but I think it really illustrates perhaps maybe the spirit of Thanksgiving. It's entitled A Baby's Hug. A woman wrote and said we were the only family with children in the restaurant. She said, "I set Eric in a high chair and noticed everyone was quietly sitting and talking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, 'Hi!' He pounded his fat baby hands on the high chair tray. His eyes were crinkled in laughter and his mouth was bared, bearing a toothless grin as he wiggled and giggled with merriment. I looked and saw the source of his merriment. It was a man whose pants were baggy with zipper at half-mast and his toes poked out of his would-be shoes. His shirt was dirty and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were too short to be called a beard and his nose so varicane that it really looked like a road map. We were too far from him to smell, but I was sure that he smelled. His hands waved and flapped on loose wrist. 'Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy. I see you, Buster,' the man said to Eric. My husband and I exchanged looks. What in the world do we do now?" Eric continued to laugh and answer, "Hi." Everyone at the restaurant noticed and looked at us and then at the man. The old geezer was creating a nuisance with a beautiful baby boy. Our meal came and the man began shouting from across the room, "Do you like patty cake?" Do you know peekaboo? Hey, look, he knows peekaboo. Nobody thought the old man was cute at all. They thought he was obviously drunk. My husband and I were embarrassed. We ate in silence, all except for Eric, who was running through his repertoire for the admiring Skid Row bum, who in turn reciprocated with his cute comments. We finally got through the meal and headed for the door. My husband went to pay the check and told me to meet him in the parking lot. The old man sat poised between me and the door. Lord, just let me get out of here before he speaks to me or Eric, I prayed. And as I drew closer to the man, I turned my back, trying to sidestep him and to avoid any air he might be breathing. And as I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching with both arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms to the old man. Suddenly, a very old, smelly man and a very young baby consummated their love and kinship. Eric, in an act of total trust and love and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hover beneath the lashes. His aged hands, full of grime and pain and hard labor, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. And no two beings have ever loved so deeply for such a short time. I stood awestruck. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms, and his eyes opened and set squarely upon mine. He sat and said in a firm, commanding voice, "You take care of this baby now." And somehow I managed, "I will," from a throat that contained a stone. He pried Eric from his chest lovingly and longingly, as though it were great pain. I received my baby, and the man said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my Christmas gift." I said nothing more than a muttered thank you. With Eric in my arms, I ran for the door. My husband was wondering why I was crying and holding Eric so tightly, and why I was saying, my God, forgive me." I had just witnessed Christ's love shown to the innocent of a tiny child who saw no sin, who made no judgment, a child who saw a soul, and a mother who saw a suit of clothes. I was a Christian who was blind, holding a child who was not. I felt it was God asking, "Are you willing to share your son for a moment?" When I shared my son for all eternity, the ragged old man unwittingly had reminded me to enter the kingdom of God, we must become as little children. What a lesson. It's a lesson that all of us perhaps needs to learn. Gratitude for the simple things of life. For that's where happiness comes. That's where the blessings of God fall. That's where friends are made. I hope tonight that God would help us this week. I know that we'll gather on Thursday for a meal, and you'll be with your family, we'll be with ours. And I hope that we'll pause to just really be honest with God and say, "God, thank you." This is not about Dallas Cowboy football games. It's not about just a day off. It's not about just being with family. But it's about thanking God. It's our national holiday. But it should be a day of gratitude. And I hope it will be for you. Dwayne has selected a song of encouragement tonight. And as we reflect upon our own life, perhaps maybe there are times when we're not as grateful as we ought to be. And there are times we ought to come before God and confess to Him the very thing that He already knows, that we're ingrates at times. And the fact that we need to say unto Him, God, forgive me for being so negligent to offer my gratitude. I thank you and I love you. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you're willing to give your life to Jesus, to obey Him, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or to be restored in a relationship that you once knew with Christ, we invite you to do that while we stand and while we sing.